called God's Love and Advice for Teenagers. I do want to assure everyone who is a teenager here tonight or ever listening to this that God does love you. I know sometimes you're attacked by adults, but don't misconstrue that with God's treatment of you. God loves teenagers. And man, the Bible's full of stories of teenagers that God has used, and history's just replete with examples of teenagers God has used and revivals God has brought through young people who wanted to pray and wanted more than what their parents had, and they were tired of their parents' dead religion and cold churches, and they wanted to see revival. And God has honored many youth movements over the last several centuries of Christian history, and God loves you tonight. And as I say in this flyer, he's not some cosmic killjoy that just watches you, and every time you're having fun, he writes up a rule to make sure you don't have fun again. Some people have that concept of the Lord, but that's not what he's like. Now, I wrote this flyer for teenagers, but I want you to know that there's a book in the Bible that's especially written for you, called the Book of Proverbs. That's how much God loves you. He wrote a whole book for you. Now, Proverbs will bless anybody of any age, but it is in particular written to the youth, and it tells us that in chapter 1. And it gives us a warning right in the first chapter of how important it is for a youth to pay attention to the Lord's Word. And so I want you to know the Book of Proverbs is far more important than my flyers, okay? Read the Book of Proverbs. There is no book in the Bible that I've ever read more than the Book of Proverbs. And I mean that, none. I read the Book of Proverbs more than any book. It's the book of wisdom. And it tells us how to live. And I want to encourage you, boy, if you're a teenager and you can read the Book of Proverbs over and over and over again, boy, it'll give you a head start in life. It'll give you a head start in life. And I want to just read a few verses out of Proverbs before we get into the flyer, just to tell you how important it is to pay attention to what God's saying, and we'll get into the flyer. Verse 23, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you." What a promise for young people. Turn to God when he reproves us, when he exposes wrong. He'll pour out his spirit upon us. He'll make his words known unto you. God's word's not some mystery book that only your grandma or grandpa understands, or a pastor or somebody. God will make his words known to the youth. But then this warning, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." So here is a blessing in verse 23 and a curse in verses 24 through 31, all based on what you do with God's word as a young person, as a teenager, as a youth. And so I, of course, want to encourage you to pay attention to his counsel tonight on some subjects that affect youth that we have compiled in this flyer. Again, we're studying these flyers to refamiliarize ourselves with some of the literature that's been laying around the church for years, also to know, for you to know that this discipleship material is available. I hope when we get to the end, somebody here will say, you know, every teenager ought to read this thing and maybe try to get it out into their hands, and maybe it will help some of them avoid the calamities that have been a description of so many other young people's lives. So as we look at the introduction in the flyer, it says one of the best ways to show love for children is to set strong guidelines for them. Knowing what the boundaries are results in security for the child. When a child has no limitations, it results in insecurity. And so boundaries are good things. Rules are good things. Morals and standards are good things. They are the guardrails of life. Certainly none of us want to cross over a big, long, tall bridge if it doesn't have any guardrails on it. It would be too dangerous. And when you remove morals and standards and do's and don'ts and counsel from the teenagers of our day and age, that season of their life becomes very, very dangerous time to travel through. And so morals are guardrails. They're good for us. It's good for us to know what God says about certain subjects and to realize that they are what is best for us. Such is the case with most criminals. Studies show that most had no regular spiritual training while growing up. Strong families, attention, and love were missing from their upbringing. I just read in the Penny Saver Saturday, Dr. Carl Burke died. His obituary was in the Penny Saver, and he used to be the pastor over here at First Church of Evans in the corner of Sturgeon Point and Route 5. And for 18 years, he was the, he wrote a book, a pretty famous book once called God is for Real, Man. And it was kind of a, of the language of the way people talked back in the 60s and 70s. But anyway, he was the chaplain for the Erie County Holding Center in Buffalo for 18 years. And he compiled information as he interviewed just about everybody that ever came in there, whether it was for one night or a week or whether they got sentenced for life. He interviewed them, and his finding was that 97% of those that came to the holding center in downtown Buffalo, New York, had no regular religious training growing up. 97%, I believe I'm quoting him accurately. And that's a man with 18 years of experience. Dr. Carl Burke just went home to be with the Lord last week. And that shows us the danger of growing up without religious training, without spiritual training, without knowing what the guardrails are. And as a result, we have to put a fence around these people. We have to keep them in. We have to discipline them. We have to chasten them. Society has to, or they'll destroy themselves or destroy society. So listen to the rules and embrace them as something that's good for us. Now, God calls himself a heavenly Father. Those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are his children. Like any good father, God has set down strong commandments for us to follow. These are with our best interest in mind. As I said earlier, he is not some cosmic killjoy who sits in heaven thinking up rules and regulations that will ruin our fun. God knows the addiction and devastation many sins can lead a person into. And there are teen addicts, by the way, not just adults. He wants us to be free from the consequences of an ungodly lifestyle. If we are ignorant of his wisdom and commandments, it is not his fault if calamity comes into our lives. And so this flyer was written once to try to fight ignorance among youth and hand them something, a discipleship piece of literature that's available through the church here so that they can know what God says about things. Now, issues teenagers face today, and there are some things I certainly could add to this flyer, and I did add a little bit towards the end. The following are some issues teenagers face today and what God says concerning them. He shows his love to us by addressing these issues outright and not in a wishy-washy, do-whatever-you-want type of way. Let's go through these. These aren't in any order of importance. They're not alphabetical or anything. They're just kind of as like things came to my mind, I guess, one day. Number one is drugs. There's a lot of drug use and misuse among youth today, as well as adults. I was just reading in the last copy right here of the Sword of the Lord magazine that we just passed out on Sunday. Listen to this statistic they quote in the News and Views. Noteworthy news notes. This is from USA Today newspaper, June the 23rd, which is only a few months old. It says, USA Today reported that a new analysis of car crash fatalities shows that drivers who die in crashes test positive for drugs 25% of the time. That sounds like a big problem. And that's just a few months old, that statistic. All right, drugs. 25% of fatalities test positive for drugs inside of their body. Drugs are fatal. Drugs are deadly. Now, I want you to notice this verse. It takes a little bit of explanation. In Galatians 5, it's talking about the works of the flesh. In verses 19 through 21, and witchcraft is mentioned in it. And the word witchcraft comes from the Greek word pharmakia, whereby we get the English word pharmacy. It literally means an enchantment with drugs or a spell-giving potion. This same Greek word is translated with the word sorcery in Revelation 9, 21. Revelation 18, 23, and Revelation 22, 15. So four times, five times, you'll read that word pharmakia translated in our English word witchcraft or sorceries. Now notice what it says in Revelation 21, 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and sorcerers, pharmakia, drug users, and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And one of these scriptures also talks about how Satan will use drugs in the last days to deceive the nations. There's so much drugs being used, not only in America, but all around the world. This is how people are coping nowadays. Every country has figured out some way to get stoned, some way to get high, some way to hide from reality. And it can be very, very deadly in this life and in the next. As the Bible talks about drug users having their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. One of the worst drugs is alcohol. And alcohol is a drug. A lot of people try to justify its use and twist Bible passages. But alcohol is a drug. And probably a lot of those other car accidents are caused by people being impaired because of alcohol. Now here's just some of what Proverbs says about alcohol. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Proverbs 23, verses 20 through 21. Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Proverbs 23, 29 through 30. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Now, of course, we know it's illegal to drink alcohol in America until you're 21 years of age. I would encourage you to use that as an excuse if any of your peers try to tempt you to drink alcohol. Say, first of all, I'm a Christian, I don't drink, and second of all, it's illegal. And I'm not going to do something that's illegal. If you do some things that are illegal in your youth, you'd be surprised how that can haunt you the rest of your life and close certain doors on you. I had a very privileged military career with a top secret special intelligence clearance. And I was given that clearance, whereas many others weren't, because of things they had done in their past that closed the door on them in that area. And alcohol and drugs can hurt your record and hurt your testimony and be a reproach to the name of your God. We need to abstain from drugs and abstain from alcohol and flee that crowd and either go and walk with another crowd or walk alone and not be involved in these drugs and alcohol. Physical relationships, the Bible has a lot of advice, and in fact, I may add even to this flyer, dating and how we ought to avoid dating. Dating can cause us to get into social relationships that are damaging, emotional relationships that are damaging. It's very damaging to young people to break up with a boyfriend, break up with a girlfriend, and how much it hurts. You know, once in a while, even recently, in a nearby town, a girl committed suicide because a boyfriend broke up with her. And now that's the extreme. I know that. That's the extreme. That doesn't happen often, but there is a lot of pain that's involved because you are not emotionally developed enough yet to handle relationships with the opposite sex. And so forget about relationships in your youth and focus on friendships. Friendships are where you are, as a Christian, friends with everybody. You try to work on the skill of being a friend with everybody, even those that are hard to be friends with. You try to be their friends with the unlovely, with all ages. I'm glad for our youth that go with Pastor Seth to the Gowanda Nursing Home and to the Eden Nursing Home, and they go in there and they meet the nursing home residents, and some of our youth have learned some of their names, and they talk with them. They're trying to build friendships with senior citizens. That's a good thing to do. Hey, try to be a friend with your mom and dad. That might help family become a whole lot more peaceful. Try to be your dad's friend. Try to be your mom's friend. Be friends with the pastor and the staff at the church. Be friends with the older. Be friends with the little babies in the nursery. Be friends with all ages. Work on your skills at being friends with all ages. But dating is when you get into that little peer group. And oftentimes dating is an isolating tool of the devil before he pounces on you. A lot of people who date girls will, just cause hurt and harm to their own parents, their own brothers and sisters. They don't have anything to do with them as they isolate themselves with that one little boyfriend. The whole world just revolves around that one boyfriend until that whole world just breaks apart, cracks up. And then that girl has nothing. And the boys are the same way. Boys are very emotional. They're trying to learn how to rule their spirit in their teen years, and they don't need that temptation. And when a boyfriend gets a girlfriend, he often forgets about his parents and forgets about his grandparents and forgets about his brothers and sisters and those at church and his other friends at school, and he just isolates himself with that one little girl until that world breaks apart. There's a lot of harm that's done to people emotionally and socially. And dating is just practice for divorce. That's what dating is. Dating is a young person getting used to disposable relationships. I don't like him anymore, just break up. Don't like her anymore, just break up. And then they take that same attitude into marriage. But brethren, marriage is a covenant before God. Well, I'll change when I get married. I kind of doubt it. Not if you've had a lot of practice at breaking up with people and just staying in that relationship till you have your first fight, your first argument, and then you just get out. This dating stuff started back in the 50s and the 60s and so on and so forth, and it, it, It sowed the seeds and birthed the divorce explosion we see. And now every state, including New York, has no-fault divorce. You can get in and out of relationships really easy nowadays. But God's not laughing. So dating is oftentimes a relationship, a social relationship you ought not to be in, an emotional relationship you ought not to be in, and then sadly, as the flyer says, a physical relationship. That's usually how it culminates before you finally end up hating each other. Remember Amnon in the Bible? When he finally got what he wanted, he hated that girl more afterwards than he loved her before. Physical relationships can be avoided by avoiding dating. And just keep yourself pure before God. Just keep your faith in God that God has somebody special already chosen out for you and you don't want to miss it. God has somebody for you. He's not going to overlook you. If it's His will for you to get married, He's already chosen out who it is and He's already moving in life so that you'll meet and you'll be so glad you left the choice to Him. You'll be able to avoid these physical relationships and all the consequences. Notice under physical relationships, 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, "For this is the will of God that you should abstain from fornication." That means never have sex outside of marriage. Ever. Of any kind. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but adult whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. God's not off looking the other way, twiddling His thumbs. God's watching our behavior. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And He rewards and blesses, or He judges based on our behavior. Sometimes God judges sexual sins with diseases. The Sodomites in Genesis 19 were struck immediately by God with blindness. Others, it's other things, as implied in Romans 1:27, which says, "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense, the payment of their error which was meet." And it's not funny when you see some of the diseases people get because of these physical relationships. And parents ought to warn children. And this flyer, by the way, can be used greatly as a discipleship tool for your own children. You ought to start talking to them about this, at least in general, when they're about 8 years old. Before they become a teen, make sure that you have taught them these things so your parenting doesn't become remedial when your little girl comes home with a boyfriend. And then you go through the roof and they wonder, "What's wrong with Dad? He just went through the roof. He never said anything." You got to beat them to the punch. Make sure you say things to your children before they come to that time. The average pregnant teenage girl in America has 2.3 diseases. I remember a lady named Pam Stenzel. Used to go, she still does, she goes through America. She's a Catholic. I hope she knows the Lord or hope she gets saved or anything, but boy, could she give some lectures to girls. Man, she'd get girls together and lecture them, and wow, we need more of those kind in this country. That's not going to hurt. And she brought out the statistic that if you ever average up all the pregnant teenage girls, each one of them has 2.3 diseases in her body already. Many of the venereal diseases prevalent in our society are simply a fulfillment of what God said would happen in Proverbs 5 and verse 11, "And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed." And sadly, I can remember a couple cases of people who laughed at me because I preached hard on this, who I ended up burying, doing their funerals while they were in their 20s, because they thought it was a joke. It wouldn't happen to them. I've said this before, I'll say this again. If you take a little pin, like a bobby pin, And you look at the head of that pin, 200 million viruses that cause the AIDS disease can fit on the head of that pin. Now, if you want to play Russian roulette with that, you can if you want. I'd rather stay in God's will. God's will. I've been married to my wife almost 32 years. We've never given each other a disease. Why? Because God's blessings on our relationship. It's in God's will. It's in God's will. God reigns in the affairs of men, whether we want to even acknowledge He exists or not. He reigns in the affairs of every person. And in His love, He says, I want you to grow up and be pure, and I want to bring the right person into your life, and I want you to have a blast for the rest of your life. Go have a lot of fun. That's how good God is. Amen. Abortion is another question that many teens face. Concerning the prophet Jeremiah, the Bible gives this insight in Jeremiah 1 and verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Wow. Before God formed us in the belly. By the way, that's just recent science. Scientists, it's only been over the last less than 100 years where they realized that man came from one cell and developed into a human being in 9 months. God spoke to Jeremiah here about Jeremiah here almost 500 years before Christ. God forms us in the womb. God knew him in the womb and had a plan and a purpose for his life. Read Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, another text where it talks about God forming us when we were little babies. In the law of Exodus 21, verses 22 and 23, the Bible says if two men got to be fighting and some woman got injured while they were fighting and the fruit of her womb departed, that if there was any mischief that followed, then thou shalt give life for life. Wow, tell that to the abortionists today. If the fruit of her womb departed, life for life. That was the penalty in Israel. An abortion is wrong. The Ten Commandments state, thou shalt not kill. 27 times in the Bible, a pregnant woman is described as being with child. Doesn't say with fetus. Doesn't say with unviable tissue mass. God said what he meant. He meant what he said. He chose his words carefully. Every word of God is pure. A pregnant girl is with child. It's a human being. Marriage. Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Young people should look forward to that. Marriage is a gift from God. The monogamous family is God's first institution on earth. One husband with one wife for one lifetime. Jesus said, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Let God be the one who joins you together. What about work? God says to teenagers, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. God made us to work, men and women alike. Work keeps us out of trouble. Work teaches us character. It teaches us discipline. Work produces finances so that we can use them in a rightful, righteous way to pay our bills and to give tithes and offerings and help the poor and buy necessities. Work is a good thing. Every teen ought to look forward to being a hard worker. Every teen ought to work and honor the Lord, and someday when they get entrance level jobs, to honor the Lord with that. I'll cover that more under money here in a minute. What about parents and authority? The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The New Testament says that that is the first commandment with promise. In other words, God attached a promise that if you'll honor your mom and honor your dad, he'll give you a long life. And you'd be surprised, young people, how quick that season of life goes and then you're out on your own. We spend about 1/4 of our life under the authority of our parents, usually, and then the next 3/4 of our life out of their authority, under God's authority. And so you hang in there. You'll survive, believe me. And you'll probably come a day you look back and say, that wasn't so bad. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We're supposed to be subject to the higher powers, for they are ordained of God. Romans 13. Verses 1 through 4. And then the Lord tells teenagers about money. Money is one of the quickest ways to destroy your life, is to come into money without certain guidelines. Here's one you should never forget. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money. Don't ever love money. Okay, it's okay to make friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Jesus said that. It's okay for money to be your friend, that is your helper, but it is wrong to love money because that is the root of all evil. That will lead young people to do all kinds of things, which while some coveted after, these are talking to believers, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There's nothing wrong with having money. It is loving money that is the root of all evil. Control your money. Don't let it control you. And don't let the pursuit of money take you out of church on Sundays and Wednesdays. I can't tell you enough how you need to honor the Lord. And I've met more than one person along the way who fell out of church on Sundays and fell out of church on Wednesdays because they had to work. And I know Wednesdays you might have to and stuff, but if you can possibly try to get Wednesdays off or church days off and honor the Lord. I believe God honors those who honor Him. And make Sunday the Lord's Day. Just make that an ironclad conviction that you're not going to bend on. And when you go to that job interview, say, Sunday is the Lord's Day. I've got to have the Lord's Day off. And I got to go to church, and I got to serve the Lord, and so on and so forth. But I will work as hard as anyone else has ever worked for you the rest of the week. 6 days a week. I'll be the best worker you've got. And believers ought not to be lazy. We ought to have character. We ought to be the first ones to work and the last ones to leave, and we ought to do extra. And boy, I believe in this day and age where there's some character lacking that the good Christian teenager can get an entrance-level job, and it won't be long before you will be ascending in the pay scale and in positions because of your character. That's what Christians should do. Christian teenagers ought to be the hardest-working ones on the farm or wherever they go. And then last of all tonight, the media. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Never before have youth been so swamped by media influences than today. Many of these are evil, secular, and humanistic. They are hard to resist. They can become a very strong delusion in the mind which keeps us from the Lord. TV, internet, video games, cell phones, texting, Facebook, Twitter, iPads, etc. Some of these can be used for good, but mostly distract us from spiritual things like our Bibles. And by the way, only a mind that is kept on God can give us peace anyways. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Those things are going to take your mind away from the Lord, get you all flustered and messed up and concerned about the latest gossip or fearful you're going to miss something. I miss the news every day. I love it. It sure gives me peace. I don't know. When I do get to a place, where I see the news or something, it just either makes me angrier gives me the jitters. They make it sound like the world's falling apart every day. Keep your mind stayed on the Lord. He'll give you perfect peace. And these things are delusions. And there's people who get addicted to video games and everything. And man, Facebook, and they gotta keep up with all the other teams. And keep up going where? In circles? What's keeping up with who? They're just going in circles. We'll be going somewhere with God. He's got an adventure for you, a journey for you to go on. The conclusion is this, and now we'll pray. There are salvation verses in here and on the back, but I get to the conclusion. The Bible addresses every issue we face today. This pamphlet only scratches the surface. Study them out on your own and see what God will show you. These commandments are not to bring us under the bondage of a bunch of do's and don'ts. They are rather the wisdom of a loving Father who knows more than we do, who wants us to be free from addictions, diseases, broken homes, and broken lives. I want to encourage you to consult these often in your teen years. And finally, it says this, Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. What's that mean? It means that if you fail to remember your Creator in the days of your youth, the consequences of your youth, the sins of your youth, will bring you into an adult life where you'll say, I don't have any pleasure in life anymore because of all the things I'm paying for from my youth. And there are some adults in this room right now who have trouble finding pleasure in their adult years because so many consequences from decisions and behavior of their youth that they still can't shed. So God loves you, man. He's got a great life plan for you. I mean, you may end up a martyr, but even that would be the best when we get to heaven. But you need to place your life in His hands. Let's pray. Father, we ask You to help us as we've just touched on a few subjects here, Lord, that would affect teens. Help us as parents and grandparents to be aware that this flyer is available, and we need to start teaching these to children a long time in general before they ever become teens. This is one of the great, great failures of today is parents and grandparents who don't say anything. They just want to have the kids have fun. They just want to buy things for them, throw them big parties. But Lord, what they need is instructions. Father, help us to use this as grandpas and grandmas and moms and dads. I pray for all the parents here whose children are preteens, and they may leave here thinking, oh, this will be good when they're teens. No, no, no. They need to teach them before they ever become teens. Moms and especially dads need to be well ahead of the curve in the instructions they give their kids. Lord, bless this flyer, this message. We pray You give it good distribution, that it would help people who don't know where the guardrails are. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close by turning to 100.